Thank you, Jonga, and blessing. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Wednesday, January 13th, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gandhi.
And I'm Marvelous Mklanga Nyahuye.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Unknown people break into Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa's office as factionalism worsens in ZANU-PF.
Previously, we had cases where there were break-ins at the same office. I think this is the fourth time now. But we had never heard about the prosecution or arrest of these people for purposes of prosecution.
Hungry Zimbabwean villagers start selling cattle for as low as $30 per beast as drought grips the country.
There is no grass for the cattle to eat anymore, and now with the situation, we are forced to sell the cattle for as little as $30, sometimes $50.
And President Obama tells Americans to stay united in order to build a strong nation.
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned. The office of Acting President Emmerson Mnangagwa has been broken into for the fourth time, causing serious tensions in the ruling ZANU-PF party, torn apart by factionalism as the battle to succeed President Robert Mugabe intensifies. The break-in is said to have happened last night at Mnangagwa's office, which is situated on the sixth floor of the new government complex. The Zimbabwe Republic Police dispatched investigators to the office today, but police spokesperson Senior Assistant Commissioner Charity Charamba declined to comment on the ongoing investigation, referring questions to Information Minister Chris Mushowe, who had rushed to the scene. But efforts to reach Mushowe and Mnangagwa were futile as they did not answer their mobile phones. Mnangagwa's party office at the ZANU-PF headquarters was also broken into on December 10, 2014. The break-in is also coming days after Sports Minister Makosini Hlongwane alleged that a bullet had been left at his Crown Plaza hotel room. Party insiders said they are concerned by the incident. Political analyst Pedzisai Ruhanya, director of the Zimbabwe Democracy Institute, tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu political tensions in the party are a cause for serious concern should they involve securocrats.
Well, being not a police officer, I may not say that there wasn't such a break-in, but maybe to give perspectives in these cases that involve ZANU-PF. Previously, we had cases where there were break-ins at the same office. I think this is the fourth time now. But we had never heard about the prosecutions or arrests of these people for purposes of prosecution. So in the context of a lack of elite cohesion in ZANU and the lack of consensus among the political elite in ZANU due to the reported factionalism in the party, it becomes difficult to understand whether it's real or it's unreal. If it is real, we expect the police to do their work and to make the necessary legal steps to address such. But what we also know, or what we can fundamentally deduce from what's going on, is that there are differences in ZANU among the leadership of ZANU. And under circumstances of differences and infighting in ZANU, we previously experienced such activities. When Joyce Mujuru, the former vice president, was fired in ZANU, all sorts of allegations were leveled against her, but she was never brought even in a kangaroo court, before a kangaroo court of ZANU. Even if you look at the history of Zimbabwe, when ZANU was having differences with the late vice president, they leveled all sorts of things that actually led to deaths in Matabeleland. But some of these things, like the arrest of Davengwa, the arrest of Kembo Mohadi, and the detention and the torture of the late Lookout Masuku, they were dismissed by the Supreme Court.
What are the implications of these alleged break-ins on the nation?
It could be politicking that can lead to instability within the state, because the difference is that are happening in ZANU permeate their structures, permeate the government bureaucracy. But they would be very dangerous if they were to permeate the national security apparatus.
That was political analyst Pedzisai Ruhanya, director of the Zimbabwe Democracy Institute, speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
Hungry villagers have started selling cattle for as little as $30 per beast to raise money to buy food, following a dry spell that is threatening to cause havoc in most parts of Zimbabwe. The drought has already allegedly claimed more than 5,000 cattle in Mashingo province. Our correspondent Gandri Maramba reports.
Villagers told Studio 7 they are losing their valued livestock at an alarming rate due to the current dry spell, which has turned grazing lands into dust piles. The hardest hit districts are Chiredzi, Mwenezi, Chivi, and Bikita, where villagers say they are losing up to 4 beasts per day. One of the affected villagers, Elliot Mposhi of Bikita, said he was devastated after losing 3 of his cattle last month, leaving him without draft power.
You know, this is time immemorial. Cattle is our source of wealth and income as Africans, and Zimbabweans in particular. We are losing many cattle ahead because of the drought, and we don't know what is going to happen, because our children will face it difficult for them to go to school coming this term.
In Mwenezi and Chiredzi, villagers have resorted to selling their cattle for as little as $30 in an effort to make money before they succumb to the devastating drought. Tigari Chauke of Chilonga in Chiredzi said they had no option but to make losses by selling the beast at very low prices, as under normal circumstances, a cow costs between $300 to $600.
Our cattle are dying. There is no grass for the cattle to eat anymore. And now with the situation, we are forced to sell the cattle for as little as $30, sometimes $50, so that at least we can get something.
Other villagers said they use their cattle for conducting various traditional practices like paying bride prices and bereavements, and losing them will affect these norms. Derek Mtambu of Mandamawe in Chivi said villagers have since pleaded for government assistance, but nothing has come by.
Oh, things are bad here, because all the cattle are dying each and every day. Like in our tradition, we pay lobola using cattle. So we don't know what we are going to do to enable for us to pay our kids their lobolas to our in-laws. Surely, truly speaking, here we are suffering. Every day, cattle are dying, and there is no assistance from the government. I don't know what they are thinking about our lives here in Zimbabwe.
Mashingo Provincial Veterinary Director Dr. Ernest Zimwasha refused to comment on the number of beasts that have succumbed to the drought. A local newspaper reported this week that the region has lost more than 5,000 cattle since December. This figure could not be confirmed by the government and other independent agriculture agencies. Zimwasha only said the situation is very bad in the province and predicted that more cattle would be lost if rains do not fall soon. He urged villagers to buy supplementary feeds for their livestock, but he could not be drawn to comment on how government may help villagers who urgently need stock feed to save their dying livestock. Reporting for Studio 7 in Masingo, I'm Gandri Maramba.
Meanwhile, the food situation is dire in Mashonaland West Province, where villagers are now surviving on eating mangoes. Our correspondent Arthur Chigoriwa has more from the provincial capital.
Most crops in the region are a complete write-off, a situation that has forced villagers to survive on eating mangoes. Villagers claim that food aid is allegedly being looted by some local politicians. Accused councillors were not available for comment. A community worker, Gift Kamanga, also claimed that food aid is being diverted by politicians for their own benefit. Kamanga said communities should organize themselves and choose representatives to distribute food aid.
They should, in fact, bring everything back to the community so that the community truly they will choose their representatives who can represent them so that they will go and represent them to collect the, it's either the maize or whatever, the food handouts. Then they will bring it to the community.
But others like Ms. Mavis Somonda said food relief is distributed to all people regardless of their political affiliation. Dejected Shackleton villager Mrs. Rosaline Mpariwa said their family is now entirely dependent on catching fish. Enra Bio Shackleton said the food situation is seriously affecting vulnerable groups. He said most villagers are surviving on mangoes, which they are hired to pick at local schools. The situation has been worsened by lack of rains. Mashonaland and West agronomist Sienna Makaza said the crop situation in the province is not pleasing. Makaza said currently the province is gripped by a dry spell and 75% of the crop planted this year is wilting.
The crop situation in the province is not very pleasing. Right now we are sitting at about 87,154 hectares having planted under maize, and for which it was planted late because of the late start of the season. Our plantings were started mainly around 18 December, which is late for major crops. And currently the province is dry, and we have not been having rainfall in the last 1 or 2 weeks. And also the heat, the temperatures, both soil and the air temperatures that we're experiencing is resulting in the crops wilting. Currently, about 75% of the maize crop in Urungwe, Sanyat and Ngesi district has started showing signs of temporary wilting. While the situation is a little bit better for districts like Shimba and Makonde, where about 50% of the crop is at temporary wilting. But however, we are saying that if as a province we don't receive any rains in the next 7 days, I think the situation will get worse. We'll reach a point where we'll be having permanent wilting, where we can't reverse the situation. And as a result of these challenges, what we are urging farmers is that they keep their crops weed free. They also try to make sure that they've got conservation works to conserve the little moisture that we will be receiving if any rains fall.
Most villagers said although food is available in local shops, they cannot afford to buy it due to lack of money. Reporting for Studio 7 in Chinoy, this is Arthur Chigoriwa.
You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We are broadcasting on 909 meter wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15460 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com.
You can also text us at 001-202-465-0318.
Coming up
tonight, we speak to a Zimbabwean living in South Africa helping people back home.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
In his seventh and final State of the Union address, President Obama yesterday touted his accomplishments and focused on his vision for the future. In an optimistic speech that attempted to define his legacy as he enters his final year in office, Mr. Obama defended his record on economic issues, saying anyone claiming America's economy is in decline is peddling fiction.
We're in the middle of the longest streak of private sector job creation in history.
He further denounced politics that targets people because of race and religion.
When politicians insult Muslims, whether abroad or our fellow citizens, when a mosque is vandalized or a kid is called names,
It doesn't make us safer. That's not telling it like it is. It's just wrong. It diminishes us in the eyes of the world. It makes it harder to achieve our goals. It betrays who we are as a country.
Two new political surveys in the U.S. show that Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders has moved ahead of the presumed 2016 Democratic presidential frontrunner, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, in both of the states where voting is set to start next month.
And FIFA, the world governing body for football, has dismissed a top aide for disgraced President Sepp Blatter, who is implicated in a corruption scandal. You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. We're broadcasting to you on the 909 medium wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15455 shortwave frequencies.
When Zimbabwean Ricky Mukonza left his beloved country 9 years ago and joined the ever-growing number of his fellow countrymen and women living in the diaspora, he never imagined that one day he'll be involved in assisting the less privileged in his home area of Maronda Mashanu in Chivu. Mukonza, a public management lecturer at Tshwane University of Technology at its Polokwane campus in South Africa, is now paying school fees for a number of underprivileged children. He also buys farming inputs for some families and even helps Zimbabweans in South Africa in many ways. He's also working with some lecturers at the University of Zimbabwe in writing a textbook on public sector budgeting in Zimbabwe. In our diaspora segment this week, reporter Jonga Kandemiri speaks with Mukonza about this and other issues.
Back home, I would mention that I assist my relatives and the people who are from the place where I come from, which is Maronda Mashanu in Chivu. The assistance that I normally give is in the form of school fees to the less privileged kids in that area, and also I also give assistance to relatives who do not have, say, money to buy inputs, you know, towards the rain season. You find that you have quite a number of relatives who do not have money to buy inputs. I assist in that manner. Here in South Africa, I assist some Zimbabweans whom I come across from time to time who will be lacking money, either for bus fare to proceed to their destinations or where they want to go, and also those who will be saying they do not have money for food. As a person in the academic field, I also assist Zimbabweans who will be looking for opportunities to further their studies. You'll find that some Zimbabweans come here to South Africa, and initially they would want to work, but when they don't find work, they normally want to use the route of going to school and then probably find work later on. So in that case, I give them advice. I also assist some Zimbabweans who will be doing their master's dissertation. Since I'm a supervisor at the master's level, I normally assist Zimbabweans who approach me.
You mentioned that you are sending children to school back home. How many children do you have?
At the moment, I have slightly under 10. The number is slightly under 10 because the resources are limited. But I'm looking at increasing the number to probably 15 to 20 this year. And resources permitting also, I intend to increase the number so that many can benefit from these efforts.
I also understand that you are working with University of Zimbabwe lecturers. May you tell us your relationship here?
Thank you very much. I had actually forgotten to state that I do research collaborations with some lecturers at the University of Zimbabwe. To date, we have worked on a project that looks at public sector budgeting in Zimbabwe. And a book chapter is actually coming out this January. The idea there is to ensure that I'm able to make a contribution in the knowledge sector in Zimbabwe. You would find that the effects of the economic downturn that we've had in Zimbabwe have also affected the knowledge production sector. So my idea is that I must make a contribution in the knowledge production in Zimbabwe.
How do you find time to do all these things outside your work schedule?
Normally, I use that time that I'm supposed to be relaxing with my family. I actually sacrifice. You'll find that in some cases, I don't enjoy some of the things that some people at my level are enjoying. I use that time that I'm supposed to be enjoying probably with my family to ensure that I make a contribution to others, particularly those of my home country.
That was Zimbabwean Ricky Mukonza, a lecturer at Tshwane University of Technology in Polokwane, South Africa, on the phone with reporter Jonga Kandemiri.
In sports news, Zimbabwe cricket has announced the appointment of former Protea paceman Makhaya Ntini as its bowling coach starting February 16th. Former Sri Lankan coach Mavan Attapattu has been appointed batting consultant with immediate effect and will assist the Chevrons on their Bangladeshi tour, where they will play 40-20 matches beginning Friday in Bangladesh. Sports analyst Muzuwetu Hadebe tells us that although the appointment may threaten the national team, it's important for cricket body to concentrate on the efforts in developing the grassroots.
I think first of all, the two appointed coaches, no one can deny their experience in terms of the game, especially when you want to look at the way they have played in terms of top-class cricket, especially for Attapattu. He has also gone on to captain Sri Lanka, has gone on to be a coach as well. On the other hand, Makhaya Ntini also represented South Africa with great distinction. But there are some who query Makhaya Ntini's coaching experience in as much as he has playing experience. And to me, really on a personal level, these are the coaches that we should be employing, but in our grassroots, so that our youngsters grow up with them and appreciate a certain level of playing. It might be a good thing to appoint them, but we are appointing them at the top level of the game. My personal view is there is a lot of developmental structures that we need to set up and then go ahead and appoint these coaches, so that our players can grow with that winning mentality, so that our players can appreciate top-class cricket and it's something that they will grow up with. So it might motivate the team, no one knows, but I think we might continue changing the coaches. We need to revisit our developmental structures and put these coaches into those developmental structures.
That was sports analyst Muzuwetu Hadebe speaking to us from Bulawayo. Meanwhile, the Zimbabwe cricket family has been incensed by the Chevrons' humiliating defeat at the hands of associate side Afghanistan. Reporter Michael Cariati tells us on the mood in Zimbabwe.
Emotions have been stirred after Zimbabwe yesterday started to an 82-run defeat at the hands of Afghanistan to lose the T20 Series 2-0 at a neutral venue in Sharjah in the United Arab Emirates. This coming after the Zimbabweans had lost the 5 ODI Series 3-2 has forced the calls for the disbanding of the Chevrons, with cricket analyst Shingirai Miti saying this was the biggest humiliation Zimbabwe's ever suffered in international cricket. Miti suggests that the Chevrons should be disbanded and a completely new team put in place.
The Zimbabwe cricket national team should be disbanded. The whole of the team, why? Because we have been losing games before and now we've lost the most miserable game, losing to Afghanistan.
Cricket follower Tondera Mchafara is also of the opinion that the current team has outlived its usefulness and also suggests that coach Dave Watmore and his whole team should be relieved of their duties.
Watmore has failed to deliver. And the players, we need a new crop of players. The guys, they are just not serious.
However, the chairman of Zimbabwe Cricket, Tawenga Mukuhlani, says the solution does not lie with the disbanding of the whole team. He says they've adopted a strategy that would see them lure some of Zimbabwe's players based in foreign lands to add to the team that is already there.
We need to have a strategy in place where we follow our players. Solo Mire is another player who is now in Australia. So we want to follow all those players, see where we can make progress.
The defeat by Afghanistan has seen Zimbabwe slump to 12th and last on the ODI world rankings, putting the Chevrons in danger of missing out of the 2019 World Cup following a change in the format of qualification. The Chevrons, who had the luxury of automatic qualification as a test-playing nation, will now have to fight to end their place at the World Cup gathering. According to the International Cricket Controlling Body, starting from the 2019 World Cup finals, only hosts England and the seven top-placed teams on the ICC ODI rankings by September this year will have direct entry into the World Cup. As things stand right now, Zimbabwe are way off the automatic World Cup qualifying place and they are in 12th place, and their automatic World Cup dream is slipping away by each game they play. Another cricket follower, Lawrence Mshambadope, says as things stand right now, Zimbabweans should forget about the 2019 World Cup.
I think let's forget about the World Cup qualification. We are not playing very well, so we can't expect ourselves to be in the World Cup.
Even Miti thinks there's no longer any hope in the Chevrons.
I don't think we are having hope and trust in the team. As far as I'm concerned, the Zimbabweans are concerned. I think we are starting to lose faith in the team, starting from the coaching department, the players.
The Chevrons are now heading to Bangladesh for four T20 matches beginning Friday. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Kariati.
In our mailbag today, we have this mail from B. Hobe, who says, "Hi guys, we are proud of you back here in Zimbabwe. I live in Maziwa. We suspect that one of the councillors here is corrupt. We have tried to express our grievances to the higher authorities, but still no action has been taken. Please be our voice."
Thank you, Mr. B. Hobe. Efforts were made by Studio 7 to contact the named councillor, but we did not get any response on the allegations made against him. He was not responding to calls made on his mobile phone.
So please keep the mail rolling in. I would love to read and hear from what you are thinking about. But right now, let's recap today's top stories.
Unknown people break into Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa's office. Ex-factionalism worsens in ZANU-PF.
Hungry Zimbabwean villagers start selling cattle for as low as $30 each as drought grips the country.
And President Obama tells Americans to stay united in order to build a strong nation.
That's our broadcast this evening. Plus, please remember to stay tuned for Studio 7 live talk when our hosts will be talking about factionalism in the ruling party following break-ins and bullet threats. My name is Chris Gande. Good night, Zimbabwe.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye saying stand by for news in Ndebele with Ntungamili Nkomo.